Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm a local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a TV program entitled Searching the Scriptures. It airs from 8 to 8:30 a.m. every Sunday morning on Public Access Channel number 6. Please give it a listen. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. All these radio files are out there in MP3 files that you can download. Also the TV programs that you can view. And there's a host of other Bible-related material that will help you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look and let us know what you think. At the end of this broadcast this morning, you'll be given our regular meeting time for Bible study and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all those services. You will always be warmly received. Our only desire is to show your need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. This morning, we continue in the subject that we began last Lord's Day in our subject on sin, on the doctrine of sin, and we are looking at God's safeguard against sin. And that safeguard against sin is His Word. And we want to begin this morning by telling you that the Word is a guide to a better way of life. The Word of God is not merely an arbitrary legal system that gives technical distinctions for a catalog of sin. It guides through the dangerous pitfalls in life and guides to a safer course in which to pursue to bring us happiness here and to prepare us for eternal life. In John chapter 16, when Jesus was talking to His disciples prior to going back to heaven, He told them that He was going to send the Holy Spirit. What was the Holy Spirit going to do for them? In John chapter 16, we begin reading in verse 8. And whereas He has come, He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father, and you see Me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is to be judged. And then we look at Romans chapter 7, Romans 7, verse 24 and 25. It says, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. You see, the Word of God convicts a man of sin. Why? It shows him very straightforwardly what sin is. And when he violates that principle or that teaching, then he becomes guilty of sin. Man must see himself as a sinner. He must see him the way that God sees him. Most feel comfortable with their own concepts of morality. We just feel comfortable in what we do and what we think. It elevates man to a higher plane when you have a higher standard. We use His Word to avoid sin and to enjoy the benefits of righteousness. In Psalms 119 and verse number 11, Your Word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin. You see, I can avoid sin by having God's Word in my heart. God's Word has a greater truth than science can ever offer us. In Proverbs chapter 2, a book written by the wise man Solomon, who had greater wisdom than any man that lived before or after him, given to him by God, he said in verse 10, When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, that is a benefit. And so God's Word gives us greater truth. We are encouraged to study and meditate on that Word in order that we can rightly divide it. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15, a passage that I'm sure many of my listening audience this morning is very familiar with. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, To study, be diligent, to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In Acts 17, the Bereans were commended by the Apostle Paul. They're being more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? Because of what they did with the word. Verse 11 says, Now these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. You see, to gain an encouragement and an understanding to prevent us to sin, we need to meditate on God's word. Consider these practical suggestions. Read your Bible carefully. Consider the true meaning of each text that you read. Get good material that will aid you in your studying of the Bible, will help you understand it better. Talk about the scriptures with others. Do not just study to prove you're smarter and know more than the other person, but study in order to know. Ask God for help. We read this passage last week in James 1 and verse 5. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it to him sufficiently. Practice and make application of what you learn. In the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. Philippians 3, verse 15 and 16. Therefore, let us, as many of us as mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. We can only be of the same mind if we're reading the same book. The Word of God is a source of true Christian character. A large portion of human behavior is based on an emotional response. We do not always think things out, but act on reflex, or on feelings, or on emotion. Meditate means to contemplate, to reflect, to mull over. In Psalms, the very first Psalm, Psalms chapter 1, in verse number 2, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the scorn seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates both day and night. We need to give careful and studious consideration to God's word. Some value that guides such actions are embedded in us, learned by a long time practice. We will have our values and morals because we develop them. In a moment of crisis, when reflective thought is not possible, we act in accord with our character, rooted in our belief and our values that have come by what we have put in our hearts. Now, to make us understand that indeed is true, I want to turn back to the scriptures in Matthew chapter 15 and listen to something that our Lord himself said, beginning in verse 18 of the 15th chapter of Matthew. It says, but these things proceed out of the mouth, come from the heart. They defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adultery, fornication, theft, false witnesses, and blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but not to eat with unwashing hands does not defile a man. You see, we are defiled when we put the wrong things in our mind. You see, we have to put the truth in our mind. When we put out the truth in our mind, then we're going to make good decisions and we're going to have good action. One's character is not given at birth, but is shaped and formed over a period of a lifetime. Sometimes we accept the world's values and conclusion without thinking about what God's values are. In Romans chapter 12, we want to read the first two verses. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Sometimes we need to make sure that we're looking at the right standard. That standard is contained in the Word of God. The wedge between us and society was driven by the spirit of truth. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, the wise man said, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he was old, he will not depart from it. For the most part, we form our own character by the values and the choices and decisions that we make in our life. We should come to fully delight in the law of God. This can only happen when we understand the value of what the word has. In Philippians chapter 4, in verse number 8, Philippians chapter 4, in verse number 8, Scripture says, Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You see, we need to meditate upon the Word of God. In Psalms chapter 119, once again, in verse number 104. Psalms 119, 104, through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. You see, we get understanding when we look at God's Word. The Holy Spirit has revealed the truth that can change our lives if we allow it to do so. If we fail to build proper character, we will be like the Pharisees who saw the law of God as only a set of rules to be debated. In Matthew chapter 23, beginning in verse number 28, Matthew 23, beginning in verse number 28, even so you outwardly appear to be righteous men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous. You see, they followed the letter of the law, but they did not have the intent of the law, the purpose of the law. Therefore, their conduct was unrighteous because it did not measure up to the complete standard that could be found in God's Word. You see, one must seek the wisdom that comes from above in order to obtain it. In James chapter 3, in James, the third chapter, James chapter 3, we're going to read verse 15 through 17. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where there is evil and self-seeking exists, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who search for peace. You see, you've got to want, you've got to desire, you've got to look for the wisdom that comes from above to help you to steer away from sin, to make sure you don't fall into the traps and snares of sin. The world's morals and values cannot be our morals. We must live to a different standard. We must readily see that the world and us march to a beat of a very different drum. The law of God is for our good and our well-being. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, Ephesians 6 and verse 17. Our prayer to our Father should be, O Lord, help us to do what we know is right and help us to grow in the knowledge and understanding of your Word. Above all, help us love and rejoice in that Word, that which is lawful, and therefore we can bring about good in our lives and be able to help others bring good in their lives. Ladies and gentlemen, God's safeguard to keep us from sin is His law. The better we know God's law, the better we will escape the pain, the anguish, the snares, the temptation, and the dangers of sin. If you don't know the law, then sin will overtake you. You will fall prey to its traps and to its temptations, and you will be deceived, and you will practice a life of sin. God's safeguard to keep us from sin is His Word. Dear listener, how well do you know God's Word? How much time do you spend in God's Word? And do you meditate upon it daily? Think about that, and we will look at another aspect of our subject next Lord's Day. Come and be with us.